Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Matt Wetham of Wetham Solutions, which is a local web design and development company located in Barrie, Ontario. Today, we're going to be discussing Matt's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Matt.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner?
I would say what motivates me or keeps me going is more philosophically, just my place in the world, in the business. I mean, servicing my obligations to my clients on a day-to-day basis, my obligations to my employees to make sure that, we're doing the best that we can as a company so that they can grow. Obviously, to my family, my kids, my wife, that sort of thing is sort of in a larger scope. But I've always been fascinated with technology ever since I was a kid, and so it sort of led me into this line of work. Started doing website design pretty early on as a freelancer, just working in high school, and built a couple of websites that I was able to sell to a couple local businesses, and was just totally fascinated by the interconnectivity of everything. So I'm very much motivated by just that love of technology that's just always been there from the get-go. But of course, on a day-to-day basis, that translates into me having to make sure that we're always providing the best solution, the best design for our clients, and making sure that they're happy with their website, with their web application development, and all of that. So yeah, I would say that's sort of in a nutshell what keeps me motivated and inspired on a day-to-day basis.
I love it. So yeah, it sounds like you really are motivated by, creating that greater impact, whether that's for, your family, your clients, or your team, just, creating good. And obviously you've got that passion for marketing and technology. That's very cool.
Absolutely.
And then, so how did you originally get into digital marketing?
So, as I mentioned, I did start when I was, just as a teenager. Mm-hmm. It was the year 2000. I was still on dial-up because I didn't live in a city, and cable broadband was still very new. And even if you had it. Not everybody who had the availability, I should say, living in cities even had it at the time. And so it was a very different world from the one that we live in today. But it's been interesting to start there and walk all the way through each of the eras of the internet. It started out that I started doing web design with just HTML and CSS and just using Notepad, and quickly, began to love that, started an early venture that I hoped was going to take off as a high school student, but never did. And so eventually, though, I was able to start doing some freelance in 2004. And then in 2006, decided to create a company called Wetham Solutions. And it was just myself. And in addition to doing web hosting and website design, among a few other things, even at the time, I just began to continue to cultivate a client roster And in 2009, I decided to give notice at the software company that I was working at, because I had decided to sort of take on the risk of going full time into just working for myself. And that quickly turned into my wife joining me and another team member joining quite shortly after that. And so then, from that point, we just continued to build our client list and in designing websites. Our focus at the time and still our focus now was a custom designed experience for our customers. So not a templated sort of cookie cutter approach to it, but you know, something that is aesthetically pleasing, that you really get a good look and feel. And even looking back, it's funny to sometimes look back at your history and some of the projects that you'd worked on prior to mobile, prior to, you know, responsive web design, prior to even really social media taking off. And looking at some of those websites, I still feel very good about how they appear aesthetically, even though they're set back in the 2006 or 2007 year. So
That's cool. So
that's kind of the approach. It's always been a design first approach, like an artistic design, I should say, for our websites. And so, so that's how I sort of got started into it. And then eventually just continued to grow as we offered more development services, more sort of web application development in the next decade, starting in the 2010s.
Interesting. Okay. And then, so obviously, you know, you've been around a while, so I'm sure, you know, you get a ton of referrals from your happy customers along the way. But are there any other means that you use to bring in more leads into your agency besides referrals?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so the SEO, local SEO game was pivotal to us and our success very early on. So we did quite a bit of SEO, and I do remember those initial years of watching when, you know, you would see a term like website design, Barrie, Ontario web designer, Barrie, Ontario, this sort of thing. You know, we would be slowly, you know, creeping up. We were on the middle of page two on some of these search terms.
Yep.
And sort of, you know, you'd be really trying to do what you could to push your agency up higher. And I do remember, you know, eventually number seven on page one, and then you just keep going higher and higher. Of course, this was before the universal search had taken Google Maps into it, and all of that. It was a lot more just ads at the top and organic, you know, down below. So we got a pretty favorable ranking fairly early on, and that continued to feed us new clients, which was great. In addition to the obvious referrals and some of the and of course referrals. Have always tended to bring in some of your best clients, or at least that's what I have always found, and I've found that other people have said as well. But that steady stream of new business, people who have never made contact with you, don't have a history with you, Google has always been you know, important for us that way. Absolutely within Google Ads as well. Then there's the referrals, which are not referrals directly where people have called and said, "Hey, I spoke to Jack and he said they love working with you," but the referrals that we get just simply from our credit on the bottom of websites has actually done quite a bit for us, because as I said earlier, our design is really forward. We want to make sure that we're putting together nice looking websites. And so when someone else in a similar industry or even a competitor or something sees another website that we've done and they look at the credit, they'll contact us and say, "Well, we know that we like this website. We know that this is a designer that has put together this site." And that sort of cold referral, I guess you could call it, is has also been responsible for bringing in lots of clients for us throughout the years.
That's really
cool. And then before Castle had sort of made it, you know, fairly illegal to just email people out of the blue, I mean, we did a lot of that. I mean, I remember we had one client who was with us for quite some time. He's actually passed on now, but and my wife, who works with me, she had emailed him, and she's very sweet, and so it's really funny that this story happens to her. She emails and says, "You know, hey, we'd love to help you with your website if you wanted to redesign it." And he fires back with, "What's wrong with my website?" and so they, of course, he was just you know, he was pulling a fast one on her. Really, he knew that his website was absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that it ranked so well. And he said to us, he said, I know that my website is terribly ugly, but it ranks well, and I'm not going to touch it. I have this other website, however, that I'd like you to rebuild for us. And what's funny is that, you know, some of these cold emails, you know, had gone on to lead to years worth of business and referrals that come from there as well. So it, yeah. I oftentimes do some reflecting on particular lines of, you know, a client and how we got this particular client and how it was a referral from another one, how that one was, you know, originally referred because we had a decal on a car back in 2004 or something, mm-hmm. or 2006, I should say. And, yep. you know, just how all of that tends to come about. So almost organically, you could describe it as.
Yeah. I used to have a decal on my car when I ran my agency years ago. And I remember I was at a stoplight one time and the lady in front of me had her son get out of the car and came to get a business card for me while we're driving just at the stop sign. But yeah, it's crazy. You never know where you're going to get that next customer. And then, yeah, I worked with her for years after that.
Yeah. Those are interesting too. And then when I had the decals on a car, another just thing is just the whole Tim Hortons lineup. You know, you go through and you've got your, you know, or even when I had we used to have this really intense looking fully wrapped cube, you know, you just pay for the person behind you and, you know, pass them a card and sort of even just that is an interesting way to get the word out. Watch your speed yeah. whenever you're driving with the, whenever you're driving with the company.
Yes,
logo.
Don't cut people off. But yeah, totally. Yep. You definitely have to be courteous on the road. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Awesome. So what are some ways that you maintain happy clients along the way so that they are going to continue to bring in more referrals for you?
Yeah, I think it's a value that we create. And I think that it's, you know, you always want to try to make sure that you can communicate that to your clients so they can recognize that value. But creating that value, being able to have an answer to the questions that they have when they have them, being able to find the answer when you don't have the answer to the question on hand, and really just, you know, sort of as the name of our company suggests, making sure that we're able to provide a solution for what they need, mm-hmm. whether it be from a design marketing perspective or whether it be on a sort of a broader technological, you know, like development type perspective. And so that I would say is key, and also making sure that you are accessible. I mean, one of the things that, you know, unfortunately our industry does get a bad rap for is the backpack designer or the fly-by-nighter type
yeah.
Designer developer, which of course we over the years are able to acquire a lot of clients or customers who came from somebody who was sort of maybe described that way. And they came to us as a more stable company, a company that they can call, you know, during the weekday, and we're going to answer their phone calls and we're going to get back to them, you know, reply yeah. to their emails, that we're stable, you know, that we, I think that's been the one of the things that our clients value the most is that stability, you know, that we've been sure in business since 2006, but, you know, even just more long-term, we've been in our same, you know, office location for 12 years. We've had a long-term team, you know, I've got a small team, but nevertheless, a team that, you know, has been working with me for, you know, many years. You know, one of them's been since 2011, another since 2013, another since 2009. So it's, you know, we're sort of stability and being able to be that reliable web design and web development company that I do find that our, like I said, our industry sort of isn't always able to provide that.
Yes. Awesome. So you just basically, you always make sure that your clients feel heard. You're always going to, you know, be there to ensure someone's going to answer the phone or at least return their call quickly and just make them feel like they have that service that they can depend on. It's stable, it's reliable, it's consistent, that type of feeling.
Yeah. And convenient too. I mean, one of the things that it sort of baffles me is when I do talk to clients who are coming to us from another web designer is, you know, their description of, let's say, something like a simple website update. You know, oh, every time we contact XYZ, it's 3 weeks to get it updated. Well, it shouldn't be. I mean, we should be able to reply to our client, you know, within 24 hours. And if we're not able to get that website update done for them, We should be able to give them a time frame that they can reliably depend on. And so that's another thing that we've cultivated is, I mean, every time we design a website and we launch the site, that is the end of the project, but it's really the beginning of the rest of the business relationship. And that's the way that we've always approached it, is that we're available to support and update and keep it, keep the site fresh, up to date with the new technology as it rolls out, whatever that client needs. And so that's where I've always found that we seem to have a competitive edge as well on that side of it.
Nice. Perfect. So where do you see Wethem Solutions in 5 years' time? What are your goals?
Well, one of the goals that I'm actually working on right now is something that another colleague in a business group had suggested to me. And I thought that's a fantastic idea. And this is a fairly novel idea that I'm working on. And that is, in terms of projecting what we want to be as a company, a projected organizational chart. So not just where do we want to be in terms of sales, but what do you want the actual company to look like? And who is working what position? So an organizational chart, not just descriptive of what we currently are, but where do you want, what's your aspirational organizational chart? Where is there a manager here? Where is there a senior level here or a junior level here? So in the next 5 years, I think what that looks like is for us is it will be bringing on a couple of new developers full time and really focusing a lot on our web development side of things. So our web design, we sort of have almost look at it as two different divisions to our company, our website design division, our website development division, which are related and we get our same pool of clients really, but the website development side is more application development, database, custom CRMs, that sort of thing, that really are technology tools that help our customers, not just bringing new clients from a marketing perspective, but manage their companies, from an organizational perspective. And so, so definitely we want to bring in some new developers. We do that, oftentimes, and we've brought a lot of, co-op students from our local college, Georgian College here. So we've always worked with Georgian and even the two, on the design side that we have now is that's how they've come to us, is from the co-op program. And they're, either working in computer programming or, the web design program, here at Georgian. So that's been great. We've got another co-op student joining us in the next term, and that's always a great opportunity both for them and for us. The co-op students often describe that they'll learn more within 2 weeks of working here than they have in their entire semester at Georgian, because we go hard. I mean, we definitely, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to take on. There's a lot that you can pick up when you're actually working in the field. So I think it's been a tremendous program, the co-op program in general. And so that's part of how we also handle recruitment as well.
Yeah, I love that. And it's such a great way to give back and help, individuals straight out of college to just get that great experience, because it's really so valuable to them when they're first starting out.
Absolutely. It most certainly is, for sure. And you can see that, especially from the feedback that we get from them.
Yeah. And as a side note, I took the design and web design and development course at Georgian in Barrie.
Oh, look at that. That's it. It's gone through a couple different iterations, but
totally.
Web animation design or interactive web design and development. And I don't even know what it's called now, actually.
Awesome. Well, we are going to be wrapping up here shortly, but before we move on to the Fast Five, do you have any, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I suppose just in terms of words of wisdom, it's not the one line that I always like to quote is that you don't need to know the answer, but you do need to know how to find the answer. I don't have any. I think probably just like most of the listeners, I'm just trying to figure it out as well, just like they are. And so maybe just the comfort of knowing that we're all just doing that at the same time.
I think having those problem solving skills is so important as an entrepreneur. You got to be able to, because you're not going to know the answers and no one does, but just having that ability to figure it out and then you're just so much wiser going from there. And I think that's a really important skill to cultivate.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're ready to move on to the Fast Five now. So I have five rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
All right. Ready to go.
Okay. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I know that I'm supposed to quote, Stephen R. Covey or something like that here, but I'm going to go with the one that really launched my career. And that was a book called Learn HTML in 24 Hours that I bought from Chapters in 2000.
I love it. That's awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
So if there's any fires to put out, obviously I put those out first. And after that, it's on to rapid fire email replies. So I try to deal with as many tasks as possible, as quickly as possible, because my mind is at a point where I'm able to just, get through a lot of that very quickly. And then once I've done those two more urgent tasks, I then stop and make a list for the day to make sure that I'm not constantly just dealing with the urgent tasks of the day that aren't necessarily as important as the non-urgent but important tasks. So I make a list of the priorities, and then I get the satisfaction of crossing that list off. Something about taking a pen and a piece of paper and actually stroking out the item on that paper. Yeah, it gives you that satisfaction that you've actually accomplished something, and you look down at your day instead of seeing just a memory of a whirlwind. You can see, oh yeah, I've actually made something of today.
Yes, I agree. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
It's, again, none of them. I feel like I should be saying Cuban or Elon or Gary V, but I actually am going to say here, not that I follow him closely, but in terms of his teachings, the late Jim Rohn. So Jim Rohn was a motivational speaker, and he was really big in the 80s. I think that his perspective on your personal growth, which can apply to your business, is really the single person who's probably made the most impact on, from a distance, that is, on the way that I tend to view work and motivation.
Okay, very good. And what is your favorite online tool?
I had to think about this one for a while too. I finally come up with the answer is Cloudflare. And I know that's a total geeked out answer, but I think Cloudflare has got to be my single favorite online tool.
Okay. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Don't be shy with spending even more money on the business. And I sort of see it like in hockey, when you're making a play and you make a pass, you pass to where the player is going to be by the time they receive the pass, not to where they are, when you make the pass. And I sort of look at that as like, make your financial moves, especially when you're early, you're small, you're nimble, you're able to turn the rudder quickly. Just make the financial decision for where you're going to be next month, and not just on the limitations that you might have this month, and apply that earlier on when the risk seems to have less potential fallout if it doesn't go as according to plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also think investing in yourself, in that skill set of where you want to be as well, is so important as well. And, when you're first starting out and maybe you don't have that steady stream of income that you're hoping for, it's still so important to be taking that money and investing it back into yourself, which is essentially your business as well. I think that is definitely, I agree, super important.
Sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Matt. It was a pleasure to have you on today's episode and learn about your journey of growing Wethem Solutions. So thank you again for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Julie. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.